So our text for this morning's meditation is from 1 John, these words: if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 22, where we read about a king, King Ahab, who didn't want to listen to a specific prophet of God. For prophets, King Ahab had plenty. He had hundreds of prophets, 400 prophets, and Ahab gladly listened to them. But there was one prophet that King Ahab did not want to listen to. Why? Well, let's listen to how events unfold there in 1 Kings 22. For 3 years, Assyria and Israel continued without war, but in the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, that's King Ahab, and the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and we keep quiet and we do not take it out of the hands of the king of Syria?" And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, that's Ahab, "I am as you are. My people are as your people. My horses as your horses." So what's going on there? What's going on there in 1 Kings 22? Why does the text tell us about a king of Israel and a king of Judah? Well, because when Solomon's son became king of Israel, there was a rebellion against him, and the kingdom of Israel broke into two kingdoms, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. What we're hearing about then in 1 Kings 22 is later when an alliance is being forged between the king of Israel, Ahab, and the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, to fight against Syria. So let's listen to what happens next. "And Jehoshaphat," that is the king of Judah, "said to the king of Israel," that is Ahab, "inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel, Ahab, gathered the prophets together, about 400 prophets, and said to them, "Shall I go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, said, "Is there not here another prophet of the Lord of whom we may inquire?" And the king of Israel, that's Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." And the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel, that's Ahab again, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaana, made for himself horns of iron and says, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall push back the Assyrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied so and said, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hands of the king." The messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, "Behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." And we had come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he answered, "Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hands of the king." But the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "Micaiah, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his home in peace.'" And the king of Israel, Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Now, you probably remember what happened next. Micaiah goes on to say that the mouth of those 400 prophets was filled with a lying spirit, spirit sent by the Lord. So Micaiah, well, he was arrested. He was tossed in jail for what he had prophesied. And Ahab, going into battle, was killed. Instructive for us, of course, is Ahab's propensity to gather around himself people, even hundreds of people, to tell him what he wanted to hear. But the prophets, the 400 prophets, is even more problematic, for Ahab then had plenty of people telling him that they were speaking for God to him, and God would bless Ahab in his endeavors. So why should Ahab have listened to that one prophet, Micaiah? Well, a simple answer is that Micaiah, and only Micaiah, was a true prophet of God, and Ahab even acknowledged that. And Micaiah spoke the word of God, even though what he said Ahab did not like. So is that our challenge then today? Do we too gladly listen to those who claim to speak for God as long as they say what we want to hear, but shy away from anyone who would proclaim to us a true word of God, which is extremely uncomfortable for us to hear? Why should that matter? If it is the testimony of God, it is the testimony of God. And for that testimony of God, we should be thankful, because it is of God. The Apostle John in our text notes that we are indeed apt to receive the testimony of men. That is, we don't have trouble as taking to be the gospel truth, something that someone tells us, especially if it pleases us in some way. But the word of God, which may and often does say something different, trumps such words. It's greater than those words of men. And it does so because what God says occurs and happens again and again and again. And again, see, when God speaks, things happen. For example, what was prophesied throughout the Old Testament about the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, it came true, didn't it? In his crucifixion for our transgressions and resurrection from the dead for our justification before God, that was all prophesied throughout the entire Old Testament, and then it actually did happen. The water in which Jesus was baptized and which flowed from his side testified to us, to all mankind, that what was said about him actually came true. And the blood that flowed from the side of Jesus after he was pierced with a Roman spear testifies that who Jesus was and is exactly what God throughout the Old Testament proclaimed about him. And through the temple sacrifices, day in and day out, for hundreds and hundreds of years, taught about Jesus. In other words, what God, our Heavenly Father, through His Spirit, prophesied concerning His Son came true in Jesus. And on this basis, and this basis alone, we should be convinced that what God proclaims to us, even now, about the here and now, and about the future, is true. And it's greater than any word of man might be. We so like to hear what sounds good to us, don't we? What we think the world should be, how we think the world should be, how we think the world can be. If we can just find someone, pastor, internet pundit, to say what we think should be said, well, that's wonderful. But let's remember, Ahab was killed in battle. And Ahab was killed in battle because he did not listen to what he knew actually was the word of God, which really should cause us to think yet today. The word of God to us overwhelmingly is one of life, one of living. Do this and you will live is what Jesus told that lawyer who asked Jesus what he should do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus' response to that man was for that man to keep the law, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you shall live is what Jesus said. Do what God has told you to do. Of course, in the telling of the parable of the Good Samaritan that followed, Jesus demonstrated that fulfilling the word of God, doing that which God has told us to do, is extremely difficult and often impossible. And so that's why Jesus did it for us. Jesus fulfilled that law for us. And he did so because Jesus always fulfilled the word of the Lord. He always did what God told him to do. Jesus always listened to the word of God. And in his sufferings and death, in his resurrection from the dead, Jesus then credited all those who believe in him with having done exactly the same thing. That is, through faith in Jesus, we are credited with fulfilling the law, that is, of always doing what God tells us to do. We're credited with doing that through faith in Jesus, even though we don't do it. Forgiveness for the times we don't do this is not then based on all the times that we have done it, but only on the fact that Christ always did, even when the word of God was difficult for Jesus Christ himself. Think about this. While the word of God through the prophet to Ahab was, do this and you will live, the word of God to Jesus for us was, do this and you will die. Indeed, you must die, so that in rising again from the dead, all who believe in you can live. So what then do we do? What do we do when we don't want to die, but we also don't want to listen to the word of God? When we surround ourselves with people who tell us what we want to hear and purposely do not listen to the word of God because it tells us things we don't want to hear. Well, we need to grasp in those moments exactly what's going on. And we need to repent of our sin, realizing that the testimony of God to us will always, always, always be greater than the testimony of man. Now, even from a practical common sense standpoint, from experience, we know that the word of man, it's not consistent. Yeah, sometimes it's right. Often it's wrong. And while it can be true, it's often only sort of true, or partially true, or just a tiny bit true. I learned years and years ago when I was studying rhetoric and speech and debate that in order for a criticism of an idea or a person to be effective, it only needs to be partially true. Think about that. A criticism need only to have an element of truth to it to be effective. And why is that? Because so often mankind, you and me, in Ahab-like fashion, simply want things we want to be true, to be true. And so we'll grasp onto anything, to anyone, any words or sentences or ideas that will support that desire. In other words, we will believe anything that is said by anyone if it supports what we already wish and want to be true. So how fickle we are. Fickle in how we listen to others and accept what they say, even if just a tiny bit of it is true. The Word of God? Nothing like that. It is true. Always, completely, fully. It is the truth, eternally. It is what truly is, even if we don't want it to be. So in faith and in courage, let's embrace it. Embrace the testimony of God, even if what it says about us, it's not pleasant at all. For in the end, the word of God is a word of life to us, not a word of death. Not a word that leads us to our death, not a word of deception and fabrication and flattery, but reality and encouragement and life. What better example of this could we have than our Old Testament reading in which Ezekiel, the prophet, is not brought to a valley of living people and in his prophesying brings about their death, like the word of man ultimately does, like the words of those lying prophets did for Ahab. No, Ezekiel is brought to a valley of the dead, of dry bones. And in prophesying, in preaching the word of God, what happens? Those dry bones come back to life. The word of God Ezekiel was commanded to preach brought life, even to the dead. Even to the dead. Are you having trouble with what you should think about things today? About what you should say? How you should understand the world today? Well, why don't you try this experiment this week? Stop listening to the word of man. Stop watching the news. Turn off your computers. Silence the browsers on your phone. Pick up your Bibles. start reading the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Read it out loud. Listen as you read. His testimony. Because it's greater than that of man. For it simply is true. Do this and you will live, as the Word of God will dwell in you richly, and you yourself will begin to think and to speak as that greater testimony, the testimony of God. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.